God, we want to surrender our will, our desire, our hearts to you. And we want to trust you with our lives, Lord, knowing that you are a good God. And Lord, we surrender to you this evening, Lord, and we ask you to come and speak, to impart, and to fill us afresh, anew. We surrender to you, to your calling, to your purpose, to your will. And we ask for your kingdom. We ask for your will to be done in us. In the same measure as it is in heaven, Father, we ask for your kingdom to come in us. In Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. If you're missing a black leather Bible, this is the New King James. If it's yours, please, you're welcome. Talk to me about it. I'm going to continue this evening. Before I do, just to invite you again, just to connect next Monday. It's a great opportunity for us to get to know you. Most of you know of us or see us. We mostly don't know you. We would love to get to know you. If you haven't been to Connect yet, if you're new to the church, we'd love to host you in our home and just to get to know you, really. Church is getting big. We don't know everybody anymore, and we would love to do that. So please, if you can, it would be awesome if you can come to our home. I want to continue this week as we prepare ourselves for Freedom Weekend on the 10th and 11th of November. Dominee Andre O'Kennedy and his son, Pastor Armo O'Kennedy, one from the Dutch Reformed Church and the other one from Shofar George, father-son combination, are going to just share with us about God's freedom and just create an environment where God can really come and do his work in and through us. And I want to really encourage you. We would love everybody to be there if you can. The 10th to 11th of November, there's no cost involved, but we need to know how many people are coming. So if you would interested in coming, just to please just register at the info desk. And these couple of weeks, we're just kind of preaching around this concept of freedom and what God wants to do in and through us. You know, sin is something that really causes so much hurt within us, but not just within us, also with people around us. And sin has this ability to distort the truth, but to rob us from the life that God has intended for us. And as sin not only hurts us, it forms strongholds in us and destructive patterns that shape our lives and continue within us as it grows. And Freedom Weekend is really just to create an environment where we can come to God and allow God to deal with these patterns in our lives and these sins that we find we struggle with so much. And really these couple of weeks is just preparing ourselves for this weekend. Last week I shared about the first step in understanding and also walking in the freedom that God has for us is to understand who He is. Who is God? The identity, God's identity. And also with that, His power, His ability, but also what He has already done for us through Jesus. And that He's sent His Son to set us free. And Luke, I mentioned that last week, Jesus started His ministry by reading the scripture, and he said, "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me because he has anointed me to preach the good news to the poor. He has sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to the captives and recovery of sight to the blind, and to set at liberty those who are oppressed, and to proclaim the acceptable year of the Lord." This is what Jesus came to do. He came in the midst of our brokenness, in our sinfulness, in our destructfulness. He came to set us free, to heal, to restore, and to proclaim liberty. This week I want to continue not just in His identity, but and in our identity that we find in Him because of what Jesus has done for us. I want to move on and speak about repentance. It's the next step once we understand who God is and who we have become in Christ as a new creation. This miracle and this privilege of salvation and what God has given us. Once we have an understanding of this, the next step to freedom is really something called repentance. You know, in the context of deliverance, repentance is very necessary and powerful to break the power of sin and the devil in us. Remember, the devil has no power except that what we give him, what we allow him. And last week we spoke about that, the fact that Jesus came to take away, to disarm through his death and resurrection. Jesus disarmed the powers and principalities. And he made them a public spectacle. And the reality is the only power that the devil have is that what we give him, that what we allow him in our lives. Ephesians 4 verse 26 says, "In your anger do not sin, and do not let the sun go down while there are still anger, or angry, while you are still angry. And do not give the devil a foothold." You see, sin gives the devil a foothold. The only foothold the devil have is that what we allow him, that what we give him. And sin offers the devil a foothold in our life. And the power of sin lies in its secrecy. I don't know if you've ever noticed that, but ever since man sinned, the first thing that Adam and Eve did, they hid from God. They were hiding from God. They were covering their nakedness. They were hiding their sin. And sin's power lies in its secrecy. Not only does it hurt us and people around us, but sin has the tendency to grow and to fester in darkness, in secrecy. And it's when we sin, we not only give the devil a foothold, it's when we cover that sin that it grows and it becomes powerful and destructive in us. And this is where the strongholds and the destructive patterns develop, when sin is covered, when it's not exposed but hidden. It's where the power of sin lies. And when we expose sin, when we bring it to the light, it is where freedom begins. It's like so many of diseases that fester in darkness, and so much bacteria that grows in this perfect condition of moist and darkness. Some of these things, the best way to destroy it is simply to switch on the light. Just bring it into the light. Just expose it to the sun. Just bring it into the light, and the light in itself has this power to destroy that what is dark. This so too of sin, when we expose it, when we bring it into the light. Because where the light is, darkness has to flee. I don't know if you've noticed that, and I've used this example so often, but we see it every day when we go home tonight. When you walk into the room, it's dark, but the moment you switch on the light, darkness flees instantly. It's fascinating. I want you to think about it tonight when you go home and you switch on that first light in your house. Just watch what happens to the darkness. Watch carefully. Watch how long it takes for darkness to flee. Look at this process. It's like when light comes, darkness flees. We know what John chapter 1 says, that in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. Sure, and then it continues by saying, "And all things were made through him, and without him not anything made was made. In him was life," and listen to this, "and the life was the light of men. And the light shines in the darkness, and darkness cannot overcome it." It's that same Word that became flesh and lived amongst us. It's that same Word, the incarnation Word that became the written Word. It's the same Word. When this comes, when we bring the light to the darkness, darkness flees. This is who Jesus is. This is what Jesus came to do. And that light, that life of men, now lives in you, in me. And when we bring the light to the darkness, darkness flees. Darkness have to run. In 1 John 1, from verse 5, we read, "And this is the message that we heard from him and declare to you, that God is light, and in him is no darkness at all. If we say we have fellowship with him and walk in darkness, we lie and we do not practice the truth. But if we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship with one another, and the blood of Jesus Christ, his Son, cleanses us from all sin." If we say we have no sin, we deceive ourselves and the truth is not in us. But if we confess our sins, He is faithful and just to forgive our sins and cleanse us of all unrighteousness. If we say we have not sinned, we make Him a liar and His word is not in us. You see how powerful this is when we bring sin into the light, or when we allow the light into our sin. You know what repentance is? Repentance is switching on the light. Repentance is bringing our sin into the light. It's not a denial of our sin. It's not an excuse for our sin. It is an exposing of our sin. It's a humbling ourselves before God, admitting that we are wrong, that we have sinned, that we have fallen short, that we have chosen the wrong instead of the good. Repentance is bringing it into the light. Repentance is bringing our sins into the light. Repentance is humbling ourselves before God and admitting our sins. Not finding excuse for it, but laying it bare. Repentance is expressing our sorrow for our sins. Repentance is submitting ourselves to His grace. You know, this is the amazing thing about God's love for us and His mercy and His grace, that when we come to God, we do not need to fear His judgment, because He has already given His Son, who took upon Himself all our sin and all the punishment that we deserve, He received. God has already punished His Son for every sin that you have committed. The guilt and the punishment for your sin has already been paid for. It's already been executed. So when we come to God, we don't need to fear Him, because He's already, we don't need to fear His judgment. We don't need to fear His punishment, because the punishment has already been delivered. So we can come to God. Repentance is having faith. It's submitting to God's grace, but having faith in God's forgiveness. That's really what repentance is. It's really an expression of faith. That I come to You, Father, the righteous judge, who are merciful and just, but You've already paid the price. Why would we hide our sin from such a God that loves us so much that He's already paid for it, and yet the devil deceives us from hiding our sin from God as if God does not know? But if we have faith and trust in God, we will not be afraid to come to Him. Repentance is faith in His forgiveness. But repentance is also a change of mind. It is a 180-degree change of direction. Repentance is not just saying, God, I'm sorry for what I've done. Repentance is, God, I don't want to do this again. I don't want to go here again. Repentance is, God, I come before You and acknowledge that I have sinned. But Lord, I want to turn from it. I want to turn away from this. And this is so important to understand, that when we come before God, it's not just admitting that we have sinned and continue in our sin. No, it is admittance of our sin, but a choice to walk away from it. And yes, the process is maybe not so simple, it's maybe not so immediate, but it is the exercise of our will, where we come to God and we say, God, I thank You for Your grace and Your forgiveness and Your mercy, Lord. I thank You that You've given Your Son to set me free, Lord. As I come to You, Lord, I want to confess my sin to You, but I like it so much, I'm going to continue in it. That's not repentance. It's not, God, thank You for Your mercy. Thank You for washing me clean. I'll be back tomorrow. No, it is, God, I want to thank You for Your forgiveness, Lord, that You've set me free, Lord, and I no longer want to be there. I don't want to be part of this anymore. You see, repentance leads to the next step of freedom, and that's renunciation. It's when we renounce the sin. You know, if there is no repentance, if there's no repentance, we continue to walk in darkness, being deceived by the enemy. And if we continue to be deceived, we remain in bondage. if we cannot come to God and say, God, I'm sorry for what I've done, Lord, and I thank you for your mercy, Lord, and I don't want to be part of this, Lord. I want to turn away from this. This is wrong. This is evil. This is not your ways. This is not your life. If I can't get there, I'll continue to be in the power of sin. That's why James 5 verse 16 says, therefore confess your sins to one another and pray for one another that you may be healed. And this is where renunciation comes in. Renounce means to give up, to refuse, to resign by a formal declaration. It's where I say, this I'm no longer part of. I renounce this sin. I renounce this lie. I renounce this lie that makes sin attractive. The lie that it will produce life, the lie that it will bring something good, the lie that it will affirm, that it will establish, that it will provide. I renounce this lie. I renounce this sin in Jesus' name. This is what it means to renounce. Repenting is towards God, but renunciation is directed towards the devil. Where you're not just exposed to sin, but you declare it to be a lie. You declare it for what it is. So when we come before God, it's not just admitting that we have wronged. It is an acting of our will. This is what renunciation is. It makes it so powerful. It's an acting of our will where we speak against the sin. Not so much to God as it is to the devil that says, I'm no longer going to be part of this. I renounce this lust. I renounce this lying. I renounce this fear. I renounce this scheming. I renounce this stealing. I renounce this. I will no longer be part of it. I've been part of it long enough. Satan has no foothold on earth. And he had no foothold on earth. You must understand this about Satan. He had no foothold on earth before Adam and Eve sinned. He had no right, he had no power, he had no foothold. But when Adam and Eve believed his lies, submitted to him, and acted contrary to God's will, to God's word, when they acted on their will, their free will, to choose to believe the lie. You see, God presented them life. God presented them the world and everything in it, and it was perfect and it was good, and every choice led to life. There was only one option. All the options was good. There was just one option that was bad, and man had to choose whether they're going to follow God or follow the lie. Whether they're going to follow the truth or submit to Satan. And man had to choose what he's going to do. And man chose from an acting of his free will. He gave Satan a foothold. He gave him a right into the world as they choose to align themselves, to agree with his lies. And the consequence of that was far-reaching. Not only did sin enter into the world, but Satan became the ruler of this world. Because through sin, we came into agreement with Satan. It was an acting of our will, and we forfeited our authority to him, and he gained a foothold in this world. And from that foothold, he started to spread the destruction and the hurt and the pain. But it was an acting of our will, agreeing with our enemy. And when this sin spread to such an extent that we was utterly helpless and it was completely out of control, it was at that moment that God sent his son. That God sent his son to take back what the enemy had stolen from us. God did not just come to judge the devil. He could do that without incarnation. You know, this is the amazing thing about God's plan for humanity. Not only did Satan come in and steal what was ours, what was given to us, but God sent his son to become man, to take back what the devil has stolen so that he can give it back to man. And this is the amazing thing about our Father. Something that we miss when it comes to freedom, and it's so important, is to understand what Jesus has done for us. I mean, by now you ought to know the Great Commission before you put it on. Who of you know the Great Commission? Great Commission. Matthew. If you've been here long enough, you'll probably be able to recite it. Who of you know it? Who of you can tell me? How does it go? Anyone? Yeah? Most people say that. But that's not where the Great Commission starts. You know the Great Commission? The final instruction. This every Christian should know off by heart. This is the final instruction. Jesus just conquered sin and death. He just disarmed the powers. You just listen to this. He just disarmed the powers and principalities and made them a public spectacle. He just took back what the devil has stolen. And then he said, I'm going back to my Father, but I'm coming back. In the meantime, this is what you ought to do while you wait for my return. This is the Great Commission. This is what every believer should know of by heart. And it doesn't start, go therefore. It doesn't start there. And this is the sad bit. It actually starts with Jesus saying, well, you can put that on in case you don't believe me. He says, all authority in heaven and earth had been given to me. Go therefore. I mean, this is the bit. This is the important bit for us and to understand about the Great Commission. Jesus says, all authority in heaven and on earth had been given to me. I have taken back what the devil has stolen. And all authority in heaven and earth has been given to me. Therefore, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, and teach them to obey everything that I have commanded you. And surely I'll be with you always till the very end. This is it. We need to understand that Jesus came to take back what the devil has stolen. And he said, all authority has been given to me. Therefore. There was a time that Jesus came to his disciples, and this is so important. He asked this question. He spoke about church. You know that scripture that says, and I will build my church. The context of this is so powerful. Jesus asked his disciples, who do men say I am? Some say, you are John the Baptist, and some say Elijah, some Jeremiah, or one of the other prophets. And then Jesus asked this question, but who do you say I am? You know, there's so many Christians, they know about Jesus. They know what John says, or what Bill says, or what Joyce says about Jesus. But Jesus wants to know, who do you say I am? And then Simon Peter said, but you are the Son of God, the Christ, the Son of the living God. And Jesus' response was, blessed are you, Simon Bar-Jonah, for flesh and blood did not reveal this to you. John didn't reveal to you. Bill didn't reveal this to you. Joyce didn't reveal this to you. But my Father who are in heaven, and on this I will build my church. And the gates of hell will not prevail against it. How powerful is that? You need to know who Jesus is. You need to believe in him. This is what Christ will build his church on. Not what other people say I am, but who you say I am. And then Jesus said something powerful. He said, and the gates of hell will not prevail against my church. The gates is a defensive structure. It's the strongest defensive structure in a fortified city. It's not an offensive weapon. It's a defensive weapon. And God is saying, and I will build my church, and it will advance against the kingdom of darkness, and its greatest defenses will not prevail. And then he said something powerful, and I will give you the keys of the kingdom. All authority in heaven and earth had been given to me. Therefore, go. I will give you the keys of the kingdom. And whatever you bind on earth will be bound in heaven, and whatever you loose on earth will be loosed in heaven. You see, this is what Jesus has come to do. He came to take back what the devil has stolen, and he has given it back to us. You see, this is the amazing thing about God. You must understand something about God. He is the commander of the armies of the heavenly host. God is a warrior. He's not a potato couch or a couch potato. He's not an armchair warrior. He is mighty in battle. And we are His children, and He's not raising sissies. He's not into that. He's into raising warriors like Himself. And you know what? That will help you to understand why when Jesus rose from the dead, He broke the power of sin and death. He disarmed the powers and principalities. He took back what the devil has stolen and He gave it back to man. You know why He gave it back to man? What He did is He took the teeth out of the lion's mouth. And then He left the lion. You know, it's like, maybe the wrong example, but maybe similar. But you know how lions teach their little ones to hunt? If you've seen that before, the mother lion will go and wound a buck. Not kill it. Catch it. But she won't kill it. But she'll cripple it. And then she'll let the little ones go. Go kill it. Go. Well, that's what God did with the devil. He kicked him to the ground, took his teeth out, and then He told His children, now you go and beat him. You go beat him until I come back. It's like God speaking to the Israelites, giving them the promise when He set them free from Egypt. And He says, I've got a promised land for you. It's yours. It's your inheritance. I'm going to be with you. Everywhere your foot tread, that will be yours. But the fortified cities and the giants, I'm not going to destroy them for you. I'm going to leave them there so that you can go and possess your land because you are my people. And God does the same with us today. He says, listen here, I'm going to disarm the enemy and I'm going to give you everything that you need. All the power, all the authority, all the armor, all the weapons, it's yours. Now I want you to go and beat him. It's the ultimate humiliation for the devil. That's why God left him here, so that we can humiliate him further. Not only did Christ defeat him, but the very thing that He set out to destroy, God says, I'm going to use them to destroy you. Remember what He told Eve? Oh, her offspring will crush your head. So God came and He disarmed the devil, took out his teeth, gave us the armor, and He says, now go beat him. That's the God that we serve. But do not be deceived. The devil is still looking for a foothold. He has no power. He has no authority in your life except that what you give him. Oh, and he's searching. He's very sly. He's waiting. When you are weak, when you are emotionally at your last, that's when he will come with his lies and his deceptions. And he will make you believe that he has teeth and he can take off your arm. But he has none. He has gums. And the only power we give him is that what we allow him to have in our lives. So God has come to give us the power and the authority to take back what he has stolen. And that's why we must be so careful for sin, because through sin we come into agreement with Satan and we give him a foothold. But God has given us authority in Jesus' name to cancel any spiritual agreement that we have made with him through our words and actions. That's the amazing thing about Jesus. That is the process of freedom, where we understand who God is and we understand who we are in Christ. And we understand that he has given us not just freedom, but he's given us the authority and the right to take back what the devil has stolen. That we can speak to the devil and yes, even the foothold that we have created, yes, even the words that we have spoken and the deeds that we have done, even the wrongs that we have committed, God has given us, by the name of Jesus, the authority to speak to these things so that we can be free. And that is what renunciation is. That is making a formal declaration that we will no longer allow ourselves with the things that opposes God. It's an acting of our will where we say, this sin I will no longer allow in my life. This pattern I will no longer allow in my life. In the name of Jesus, I renounce this sin. I renounce this pattern. I renounce this stronghold, because I'm now in Christ. And in him I have the right and the authority to be free, because he has already set me free. We are canceling any and all agreements with the enemy. And that's the power of words, if you think about it. That's what makes renunciation so powerful in this process of freedom. There's something powerful when we speak. We know that the scripture says there's life and death is in the power of the tongue. But if you think about it, when God created the universe, He didn't think, let there be light. He spoke, let there be light. And there was light. There's something powerful about the spoken word. When God spoke, it became. And then that spoken word became flesh and lived amongst us. And then the spoken word became the written word. And He still continues with us. There's something powerful about words. That's what renunciation is so powerful. It's not just an admitting of our sin. It is a breaking of the sin in the name of Jesus through the power that He has given us. We shut the door to the devil and we refuse by formal declaration not to walk in the ways of the past any longer. Renunciation means we cut off any legal right Satan has to bind or to torment us. And this is the way we resist him. We say, I no longer will come in agreement with your lies and your ways, but I will come into agreement with God's ways and His truth. This is what it means to resist the devil. You know the scripture that says in James, submit to God and resist the devil? Well, guess what the devil will do when they realize that you are submitting to God and you're resisting His suggestions, His lies, and His temptation. You know what he will do? He will flee from you. Because he doesn't like to be beaten. He doesn't like to be punished over and over again. Because he knows he has no defense against anyone who is in Christ. He knows the only thing that he will get from you is a bruised head. And who likes a headache in the morning? No one. So when you submit to God, to His way, to His truth, what He says, and you resist the devil, he will flee from you. Same in making of vows. You know, sometimes it works the same way. You know, sometimes we have spoken things because of the hurt that we have suffered, because of what men has done to us. We will say, I will never again. And these words have power. These vows that we speak over ourselves, it has power. And by speaking anything that is contrary to the word of God, we come in alignment, we come into agreement with the devil. And we give him a foothold in our lives. It's these things that we need to repent of, that we need to expose, bring it to the light, and renounce what we have said and speak the truth. If our words have been contrary to God's word, then we have aligned ourselves with the works of the devil. And to be free from them, we must counter these words with the words of God and renouncing the things of shame. Isn't that what 2 Corinthians says? But we have renounced disgraceful and unheard and underhanded ways. We refuse to practice cunning or temper with God's word, but by the open statement of the truth, we would commend ourselves to everyone's conscience in the sight of God. See, this is the powerful thing of renunciation. After we repent and we have renounced, we have the right to cancel any legal hold that the enemy has over us. And this is where, when we have brought into the light, when we've switched on the light, when we've brought into the light our sin and our agreement with the enemy, and when we have renounced, when we have decided we are no longer going to be part of it, and we speak it, we declare it in His name and His authority, that is when this yoke of bondage can be broken. That is when the change that is on us can be broken. That brings us to the next step. It's the breaking of the power of sin. It's the breaking of the stronghold. It is the destroying of the defensive, of destructive patterns in us. And you know, this is what God loves to do. He loves to see us walk in it. That's why He set us free. He didn't set us free to be enslaved again. Isn't that what the word says? But you didn't receive a spirit of fear again unto bondage. You didn't receive a spirit of fear. You didn't receive a spirit of slavery. You didn't receive a spirit of bondage again. But a spirit of freedom, of identity, by which we call out Abba Father. You know what? God has given us the spirit to overcome so that we can be more than conquerors in Christ Jesus. And God loves it when we stand in our authority. He loves it when we take up what His Son has come to give us at great expense. He loves it to see His children stand in the authority and the freedom that He's given us. And when we beat the devil, it gives Him a kick. The devil and God. negative for the devil, positive for God. He loves it when we stand in our authority. Because that's why He given His Son for us. Frustrates the enemy when we do. And the same process is followed when dealing with curses. Either those that come through bloodline or those who have spoken over us by others or even ourselves. It's the same way when you notice this destructive pattern that's coming through from generation by generation. You can do the same thing. Switch on the light. Bring it into the light. Expose it. Renounce it. And then in the name of Jesus, you break it. This is how you deal with it. It doesn't have to be a long, extended process. No, it's an understanding of who God is, an understanding of what God has done through His Son and who you have become in Him, bringing it into the light, exposing it, renouncing it, and then in the name of Jesus, you break it. You know what's the most amazing thing? This is what Freedom Weekend is all about. It's just this point where we come to God and we break it. This is where it happens. It's our understanding. It all starts with our understanding what Christ has done for us and our identity in Him and our authority He has given us. And having faith in Christ's sacrifice for us and our forgiveness. Isn't that what 1 John says when we continue, but we read here again from verse 8. If we claim to be without sin, we deceive ourselves and the truth is not in us. And if we confess our sins, He is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and purify us of all unrighteousness. If we claim we have not sinned, we make Him out to be a liar. And His word is not in us. My dear children, I write this to you that you will not sin. But if anyone does sin, we have the advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ, the righteous one. He is the atoning sacrifice for our sins. And not only for our sins, but the sins of the whole world. Isn't this powerful? You know what? Even if you do sin, God is still your advocate. His sacrifice is still valid. And when we come to Him, we stand on that. However, it's so important, it's critically important for believers to understand in this battle our authority in Christ Jesus. When we are declaring and when we are renouncing, it's the time where we can stand in the authority of Jesus' name because of the power of His death and resurrection, and we can declare that the yoke of bondage is broken. And it is this point of breaking. It's at this point where we stand in His authority. This is where the battle begins and ends. This is what Freedom Weekend is all about. This is where it all boils down to. This is where it all comes together. When you face the devil in his face and you come in the name of Jesus, in His authority, and you speak to this bondage, you speak to this pattern, you speak to this stronghold in your life, and you break it. It's the primary place of confrontation with the enemy. Now that the light of Jesus is shining into the darkness where He once ruled, it is here where the enemy is found out and cast out. It's here where the battle begins. This is what Freedom Weekend is about. It's creating that space where you come to God. And you know what? It's not about us delivering you. It's about you delivering yourself. And this is why we do it the way we do it. This is why we educate and we prepare and we give you a platform where we give you the tools where you can deliver your own demons. So you're not dependent on another counselor or somebody else. You have to come to me time after time, that you are dependent on me to set you free, dependent on me to counsel you, dependent on me. We want you to be free. Not just so that you can set yourself free, so that you can set others free, because I want to counsel other people also. That's why we equip you. I can do that for you, but I have 400 people in church. I'll be busy forever. So we'd rather just let you all go through it, equip you so that you can do it yourself, so that I can counsel more serious problems. Because dealing with the devil, you know what? Shouldn't be such a big deal because of what Jesus has already done. But this is Freedom Weekend for you. We want you to be free. Not dependent, but free. We want you to be free. We want you to understand and taste and do it yourself so that you can set not just yourself free, but do you have the confidence to set others free? This is what it's all about. It's here where there's great freedom and joy, and I've seen so many people set free by this simple application of God's Word. When you understand who He is and who you are, when you understand what it means to bring something into the light, and you have faith in His forgiveness and His grace, and you understand the authority that He has given you, and you stand in it, and you speak to the devil, you speak to the sin, you speak to the strongholds, you speak to the patterns in your life, you speak to the curses. It doesn't matter what it is, but you stand in that authority. This is where there is great joy and great freedom. This is what the weekend is about. So I want to encourage you, register if you haven't yet, and be part of this process. But we're going to start today by simply praying. We're going to start by just simply asking God to reveal to us by His Spirit. We will come and shine into our hearts and show us the sin in us that is still hidden. The patterns in us that we are still struggling with, this destructive patterns in our lives, the strongholds that we seem not to be free of, seem not to get away from. We're going to start this evening simply just trusting the Holy Spirit to expose it, to bring, so that we can bring it into the light. So that we can come to God with these sins and these patterns, and we can go to God and we say, Lord, we want to switch on the light tonight. We want to bring You into our shame, into our shame, into our guilt, into our sin, Lord. We want to lay it bare, Lord. We want to expose it all, Lord. We want to ask You to come in, Lord. Come into my darkness. Come into my sinfulness. Come into my destructive pattern in all the things in my life, my anger, my lust, my jealousy, my compromise, Lord. I want to ask You to come in. I want to ask You to come in because You bring life. This is simply what we're going to do tonight. So I'm going to give you an opportunity as I pray to do just that. And Father, as we come to You this evening, Lord, we want to bring our lives to You. And I ask You, Holy Spirit, that You will come and that You will come and search our hearts, Lord. Search our hearts, Lord. Show us, Lord, the sin and the compromise and the patterns in our lives that we have shaped and formed in agreement with the enemy. Lord, we pray that You will search us, Lord, and that You will show us. Lord, I pray, Holy Spirit, that You will gently, Lord, expose the lies that we have believed. Lord, I pray that You will open those doors in our hearts that we have kept closed for so long, that we have hidden from You and others. Lord, this evening, Lord, we just want to ask You, Holy Spirit, show us these things that we can act on it. Lord, that we can ask You to come in. Lord, we want to bring it to the light. Lord, we want to bring it to the light. Lord, we want to repent of these sins and these agreements and these patterns. And I'm just going to ask you where you are right now, just to take a moment and allow the Holy Spirit to speak to you. Just to reveal these things in our lives. Just ask Him to show you. Then I want you just to admit it before Him. Just bring it to Him. Just bring it into the light. Just in your own words, just where you're seated, just bring it into the light. If that is you tonight and you sense you know God is speaking to you and there's things in your life that you need to expose, and as the Holy Spirit is speaking to you and you want to surrender that to God, just raise your hand. Say, God, I want to bring this sin before You. I want to bring this pattern, Lord. I want to bring this agreement I have. Just where you are, just respond to God by raising your hand. Just say, God, I just want to expose it, Lord. I want to bring it to the light. Just where you are, I just want to ask you, you can raise your hands, thanks. Just as you are. Just bring it to the light. And then I want you to do the next thing. I want you to renounce the lies. I want you to renounce the agreement that you've made with the devil. I want you to see yourself turning away from it. Turning away from it. Yes, Father, I thank You, Father, that You are coming into our darkness. Lord, I thank You that You expose our sin. Lord, thank you that in the light, the power of sin is broken, Lord. I thank you, Father, that as we come, Lord, and we act on our will, Lord, we got in here, Lord. Sometimes we don't even realize it, but we got in here because we agreed, we were deceived, or we chose to accept the lie, Lord. But whether it was deception or a choice, Father, I thank you that by renouncing it, Lord, we break the power of this thing in Jesus' name. Lord, so I want to pray, Father, for every sin that was repented of, Lord, every sin that was brought into the light, Lord, every word that was spoken in renunciation, Lord. I want to thank you, Father, that by your Spirit, Father, that you are preparing us, Lord, to be free, Lord. I thank you, Father, that as we bring this into the light, that you've given us the authority and the power to break it. And if that is you tonight, I want to ask you to do something bold. It might be uncomfortable, it might be challenging your pride, it might be challenging your faith, but if you have things in your life that you want to break, that you want to renounce, that you want its power broken, I want to ask you to come forward and I want life to pray with you in agreement, just in authority. Just want to pray over this in the name of Jesus and break this sin, break this power, break this pattern, break this curse. Maybe you need to come on and stand on behalf of your family. Maybe there's something in your family that you see is continuing from one generation to the next and you need to stand proxy and break that curse. If that is you tonight, I just wanted to quickly come forward and I want to pray with you. So if you've raised your hand or God has spoken to you, I just want you to come forward and we're going to pray with you. I'm going to give you a moment. This is really part of bringing it into the light. Don't be afraid. Don't be ashamed. This is the power of sin broken in you. So I want to ask you to come forward. I'm going to give you a moment to do that. I don't know if you can help to pray. But this is how you break it. This is how you break the power of the devil. You bring it into the light. You confess to one another so that we can be healed. If there's things in your life that you want to deal with tonight, we can pray with you. And this is just what we're going to do right now. Lord, we thank you that we can bring our hearts to you, Lord. Lord, we thank you for your truth. Lord, we thank you that we can bring our sin and our weakness to you. We can ask you to come in the light into our darkness. Lord, we thank you that darkness flees when you enters. Lord, we thank you, Father, that as we bring our darkness to you and the light enters, Lord, we can renounce the power and the foothold and the agreement of the devil in our lives, Lord, and we can break its power, Lord, and we're going to ask you, Father, to come and bring the truth in the place of the lie. Lord, we pray that you will give us the truth, Lord, which is the opposite of the lie. It's not even hard to find. It's just to turn around the lie that says we are not loved, not accepted, that we are not worthy. Lord, we can just turn it around and we will find the truth there, because the devil only lies to us. Lord, I pray that we will choose to believe your word, Lord, and that we will confess the truth. We will confess what you say in our lives, Lord. And we thank you, Father, that as we do it, Lord, your truth will manifest and it will produce the life that you have promised it will. And we thank you for this. Lord, as you prepare our hearts for this weekend, Lord, I pray that you will continue to search us and to reveal to us the lies and the agreement we have made with the devil, so that we can be set free in Jesus' name. We thank you for this. Amen. Thank you so much for coming. May God bless you. There's some refreshments. If you still need a prayer, we're going to be here for a moment. But may God bless you in this week. Don't believe the lies of the devil, but rather expose it. Amen.